Hello, St. Mark. You know, we've been in this series now for the last couple of weeks called The Sometimes Confusing Questions of Life. And today I want to look at an interesting question. The question goes like this. If I'm a Christian, then why in the world am I having so many problems, right? I mean, why did James take a call and now we have to try to figure that out? And why did Kevin just tell me on Tuesday that he's going to retire soon? Why, we ask these questions of God. And I want to take a look at this because I think it's a big thing. I mean, I think there's just a lot of people out there that when they have these kind of problems, when everything hits the fan and they're dealing with struggles, they start to wonder this. Does God even love me anymore, right? Or maybe is God angry at me? Is that why all this stuff is happening right now? Or maybe, and this is kind of a worst case thing, maybe I'm not even a Christian and that's why all of this stuff is starting to happen. But if you've ever struggled with these kind of thoughts, one of the most helpful texts in the whole Bible is this verse from James. It's actually a short passage, and he begins this book with just really hitting this problem that we're just talking about head on. He says this in chapter 1, verse 2. He says this, "When all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, don't resent them as unwelcome intruders, but welcome them as friends." What? You say, James, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's nuts. You don't know my problems. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm struggling with. But he would respond right back to you. He would just say this, if you've got problems, guys, be happy. So how in the world do we do that? I mean, how in the world, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of nothing go according to plan, how in the world do we get to a place where we rejoice in the midst of that kind of suffering? Well, I think one of the keys to this word realize in the text. I think this one word is sort of key in all of this because here's the sermon today in one sentence. Your success at handling problems will be in direct proportion to how well you understand them and your attitudes toward them and how you choose to respond to them. In fact, here are four facts about life, about our problems that you absolutely positively need to realize. And they're all here in this text of James. One of the first things that James says is this, problems are just inevitable. I mean, notice what it says. It says, when all kinds of trials, not if all kinds of trials, it says when. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Peter said, don't be surprised when problems come into your life. It's just a part of life, guys. You know, when I was in college, I had a kind of a strange buddy who used to pray this, Lord, give me problems. I mean, I guess he prayed that because he knew that if he prayed for problems, if he had problems, it would help him grow closer to the Lord. I don't know. But he said he used to pray for problems. Saw him a few years back and he said, yeah, I don't pray that anymore. You know, problems just kind of come and they come consistently and they come automatically and they just seem to be constant. You never, ever, ever have to pray for them. Reality is that they're not really an elective course to life either, are they? Because it seems that you just have to have them to graduate. It's just part of life. And so Jesus and Paul and James and a host of other people all share with this about our problems. They all say it's part of life. Nobody's immune. Nobody's insulated. Nobody's exempt. Nobody's got to a place in this life where they don't have problems. And so they're inevitable. It's not if, but when they come into your life, when these trials come, what else does James say? James also says that problems are variable. Notice it says, when all kinds of problems come. There are so many different kinds of problems out there. I read this week that there's over 205 different varieties of weeds in the United States. Yesterday, I estimated that I had about 82% of them in my yard. And I was thinking, hey, maybe I'll actually open up an exotic weed farm for people to come and visit. But then I thought, well, I don't know. I just redid my pool, so I don't know if I wanted all those people. But James just shares this with us. He shares that the problem with problems so often is they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. There's more than 31 flavors. The Greek word here literally means multicolored. Some of your problems are custom made. They vary in intensity, they vary in how long they're going to last and how hard they are to experience. I saw a sign the other day that said this, into every life some rain must fall. But this is ridiculous, and I agree. James goes on to say this about problems. Problems are also unpredictable. Notice it says, when all kinds of trials crowd into your life, don't resent them as intruders. It says they crowd in. Notice that. They intrude. You ever have a problem and you just feel like saying, not now, not now, God. I mean, you have a flat tire when you're late, you're getting ready to go out with your spouse, you kiss your baby goodbye and she spits up on your shirt, now you got to change. You're getting ready to come and preach in and all of a sudden your pants split out. Speaking of that, the first time I ever did liturgy and I was so excited, I had my beautiful white robe, I was getting up there to do liturgy for the first time, and as I took a step up on the altar, I caught my robe with my foot, split the robe wide open, the hymn ended, and I had to turn around. Ugh. I read this week about a guy in New York City, right, a New York subway. And it was his first time to ride the subway, and he was so excited, and there he is, standing there at the subway, waiting for it to stop. Evidently, in the car that was pulling out in front of him, though, a guy had gotten sick on the subway. And so the door opens, and the guy looks at him, and then he vomits all over him. The guy just turned around and said, why me? Out of all the people in the New York subway, why me? See, the problem with problems is that they just catch us off guard. You can't predict them. You don't know when they're going to happen. They come when you least expect it. And so you're unprepared most of the time, and it's inconvenient almost all the time. It's the same word used in the story of the Good Samaritan. It literally means to fall into. Like the man fell among robbers, right? He didn't get up one day and say, hey, I think I'll get robbed today. That sounds like an awesome idea. No, it was unexpected. And that's what the Bible's saying. Problems are inevitable, and they are variable, and they're unpredictable. You just can't predict them. You can't anticipate them. And finally, James says this, problems are also purposeful. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that one, right? But think about it for a second. They have a purpose, and you need to know this. Notice it says they come to produce in you, James says. In other words, problems can be productive in your life. Stress and suffering can accomplish something in your life. They have value. Your problems have value. Well, that's good, right? So what is it that God has purpose for? Well, how does he use our problems? So here's some of God's purposes for your problems, for my problems, as we go through them in this life. And wonderfully, too, they're found all here in this passage of James. One of the first ones James says is this. Problems come to test our faith. It says, realize that they come to test your faith. And when I say faith, test your trust in God. That's what he's talking about. Note the word here, test. The word is a refining term, just referring to metals. So when you go and take silver or gold or something like that and you heat it up real hot, it melts. And as it does, it is refined by melting off all the impurities that were in it. And that's what God does in our lives. Have you ever been under the heat like that? I mean, just in your life. Felt like God was testing your faith, testing your trust in him in some powerful way? I mean, the classic example of this in the Bible is really Job, isn't it? I mean, everything for this guy was going wrong. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his friends, he lost his home, he lost his health. He lost everything but what? A nagging wife. And that too was a test, wasn't it? In fact, one time his wife said, why don't you just curse God and go to hell? I mean, think how the supportive statement that was. But God allowed him to be tested, to have his faith, his trust tested by his problems, in order to see that if in spite of his problems, in spite of his misery, in spite of his sufferings, he would still love God. Somebody said that people are like tea bags. You don't really know what's inside of them until you drop them in hot water. But when you're in hot water, what's really inside of you, but that's what comes out, isn't it? I mean, have you ever had your faith tested, your trust tested by the problems in your life? Have you ever had one of those days or weeks or months or years? Have you ever had one of those lives where everything that's happening right now in my life is a test? But here's the thing. Faith, trust in God, develops when things do not go as planned. I mean, it's easy to have faith when everything's going the way you want it to. But James says that the purpose of problems in your life is, number one, to realize that they come, that they are allowed to come to test our faith, to test our trust in God's promises and Him and His love. What else? Problems also develop my endurance. That's what James says. In other words, they come to test again our faith, our trust in Him. And this is what James says. He says, and to produce in you the quality of endurance. See, the result of problems in your life is ultimately staying power, isn't it? It's the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to hang in there when things get hard. The Greek word for endurance is the ability to handle pressure. So how does God teach you to handle pressure? By, you know, allowing pressure, by experiencing pressure. I mean, you can't learn it any other way. I wish you could. You can't learn it in a book, though. You don't learn it in a seminar. You learn endurance by having to endure something. That's it. You know, during the Olympics, they do this event called the triathlon. And what's the purpose of the triathlon? I think to kill the people that are doing it. No, it's an event that tests endurance. Test the endurance of the athletes. So thinking of that, a buddy of mine told his wife the other day, hey, I'm thinking of running the triathlon in our city coming up next week. And she says, yeah, but you haven't been preparing at all. You'll kill yourself. He says, yes, I have been preparing. I'll tell you what, I went to the library a couple weeks ago, right? And I borrowed a book on running and swimming and biking. And for the last 3 weeks, I'll have you know, every night at about 7 o'clock, I have sat down in my easy chair and turned on the television and started reading this amazing book on triathlons. I get my bag of potato chips. I get my soda. I got everything ready. And I'll tell you what, I found this book has been really fascinating. I've learned a lot. I've even underlined some of the passages in this book that have been really powerful to me, that really spoke to me in some neat ways. There were some passages that were so good that I've even memorized them, right? I could tell you them right now if you want me to. I could quote them. So I want you to know, I'm a lot more prepared than you think I am. Is you prepared? No. How do you prepare for a triathlon? By actually doing it. Muscles develop when they're stretched, and the only way to learn endurance is having to endure something. So God wants you to learn endurance. And because of that, He's going to let you endure some problems in your life to create that, to improve that. In Russia, scientists have been doing research on longevity by studying how various conditions affect different animal life and how long they live, right? And they're trying to study really how long people will live under different conditions. And they've discovered so far that animals placed in easy living conditions where, you know, they have everything provided, where ended up being weaker and more susceptible to sickness and die sooner than those that had been allowed to experience the normal hardships of life. In other words, problems produce endurance. That's what James said 2,000 years ago. But there's actually a third thing too. Problems mature my character. See, the rest of the verse just goes on to say this. Let the process go on, James says, until you become men of mature character and integrity with no weak spots. James is saying that God wants to use the problems in our life to build and mature our character. That's really one of the goals of the Christian life, isn't it? God wants to make you like His Son Jesus. God's purpose, one of His purposes in your life is to build your character, to make you a little Christ, to make you a Christian. So He wants you to learn to think like Jesus did, speak like Jesus, act like Jesus, feel like Jesus, do like Jesus, because it's like Him, because it's God's will, and here's ultimately why, because it protects and blesses your life, and He cares about that because you're His kids. He even said one time, let us make man in our own image. He doesn't want to make you a little God, no. He just wants to make you godly. He wants to keep you safe, and He knows if you follow Him, it's safer than if you don't. Let me see if I can sum up what this passage really says. First of all, it says you're going to have problems. Amen? Amen. It's just inevitable. It's a fact of life. You're not going to get around them. There's no such thing as a problem-free life. I wish there was. There is not. You're also never going to mature beyond those problems, not on this side of heaven. They'll still come, and they'll come constantly. You can count on it. And when a problem comes, you can be sure of absolutely two things. One, that the devil is trying to destroy you. He does not like you. He is not a fan. And two, that God wants to develop you. So whenever you have a problem, you can know the devil wants to destroy you and God wants to develop you. Now, hear me say this. Problems do not automatically make you a better person. Think about that. I mean, you know a lot of people that problems make them worse, right? More bitter, more resentful, more hard. It's all in your attitude. You can either rejoice in it, which is what James says, or you can resent and rebel and resist against every single one of them. Those are your options. One will make you bitter, I promise you, but the other will make you better. In James 1:12, it says, look at the result of problems in your life. He says this, blessed or happy is the man who perseveres under trial. In other words, who keeps on keeping on. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Think about that verse for just a second. Are you going to get one of those crowns when you get to heaven? You know, because you hung in there. Because you didn't give up. Because you kept on trusting God even when it was hard, even when the world turned against you. Think about that question just for a second. And then ask yourself, what is it that you're tempted to give up on right now that you know God doesn't want you to give up on? You see, God wants to stretch our faith. He wants to develop our endurance. He wants to build our character. And the question really all along is just this, will you let him? Guys, I challenge you to do three things this week with whatever problem is going on in your life right now or whatever problem you get to experience this next week that you haven't had the foggiest notion about, right? It's going to come. I want you to do three things. Ask God for the wisdom to understand that problem. Why? Because the more you understand what God's doing, the less overwhelmed you're going to be by it. Ask God for wisdom. That's number one. Number two, ask God for the faith and strength to endure it, to get through it. It's a big deal, and some things are really, really hard, and you need his strength to take the next step and to keep taking those steps because everything in you wants to give up. And three, cast all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your fears, cast them all upon him. For he cares about you guys more than you could ever imagine. And maybe finally is the most important thing, right? Just don't give up. God has got you, and he will give you the strength to get to the other side, I promise. Just don't give up. Keep on trusting, and he will get you to where it is that you need to be. Guys, go with that, those words of wisdom today. Go with that hope that he gives us in the midst of everything that's going on, and may it give you joy in the midst of adversity. And all God's people said, amen. So let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the way that you continually remind us that you've got us as we're walking through this life of ours. Man, life gets complicated, and life gets hard, and it's so easy to doubt that you're there in the midst of our struggles. It's so easy to forget that you see, that you know. Sometimes it's easy to forget that you're on our side. But Father, our prayer is that these words, they remind us that you have purpose even in the midst of our struggles. That it's because you love us that you've allowed us to experience certain things. It's because you love us that you want our faith tested, our trust tested in you so that we can grow stronger and stronger so that when things get really hard in life, you're still there in our corner, rooting us on, strengthening us, giving us courage to face the next day. The reality of life, Lord, is that we need you desperately. So keep on refining our faith, we pray. You don't have to give us problems. We'll know they come, but keep on growing our trust in you so that whenever we are or wherever we are in life, we have you to run to. We have you to give us a hug and to strengthen and to forgive and to renew until one day we're with you. And that's our prayer today, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.